Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to embark now on your word. We thank you. We thank you so much for the privilege of understanding the word of God. Father, your wonderful Holy Spirit gives us the ability to connect with you. Father, I thank you that you've given us the Spirit, the mind of Christ. Hallelujah, to be able to comprehend and literally know something about what it means to be spiritually set into the kingdom of God. And so this morning as I talk, I want to talk about baptism. Heavenly Father, help and guide me to give clarity to it and to help your people, and may they, the ones that are participating in this service, Father, may they be blessed and overjoyed at the fact of the choice that they have made to publicly come up and to be water baptized in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Romans chapter 6, let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. Do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also, certainly we also, those are important words, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Now, you know, this is one time the translators made a mistake that I enjoyed. You're going to say, why? That the body of sin might be done away with. I like to believe that. But how many of you, since you confess Jesus as Lord, have missed the mark with God? So when you read something like this, I like to believe that he's been done away with because of the mistakes I've made once I got born again. But if you understand it according to the original text, when it says that the body of sin might be done away with, this wording here literally means rendered powerless. So once we acknowledge that we've received Christ, then we're baptized into his death. And a lot of people don't understand, what do you mean his death? Well, how many of you know that Jesus died on the cross? He was crucified. Did you know that if anyone has been born again, you have been co-crucified with him? That death that you become baptized into is the one that he partook of on the cross. So with that thought in mind, let's go over to Colossians chapter 2, because we'll be coming right back here. Colossians chapter 2. And let's go to verse 11. And here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, notice this, by putting off the body, now it says here of the sins, but really that's not in any original text. It says that you were made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Whoa. The first time I read that, I had a hard time putting my mind around it. You want to know why? Because how many of you are here in the flesh? Some of you didn't raise your hands. May I ask you this? What are you being here? I think every one of us can truthfully say, I'm here in the flesh. Amen. But when you understand the Bible, we're a tripart being. We are, first of all, spirit. And we have a soul. And we live in this body. So even though we're here in the flesh, the real person that we are is soul and spirit. And this body, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is our earthly tent. We're dwelling in it. Why? Because without you being here in the flesh, then you're spirit. And we would not see you here. And if you were here and your spirit wasn't, we could go out and talk to you, but you would not respond because you'd be dead. So he says here, very interesting. He says, buried with him in baptism, this word is co-buried. In the Greek, it's co-buried with him in baptism, in which you were also co-raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So that means that when Jesus died on the cross, guess who? You identified in baptism of dying with him on that cross. Did you guys know that? And then that's why it says in the Greek, co-raised. It means you guys were co-raised or co-quickened with him. And that's why it says you were seated in heavenly places with him. Is because why? Because you were raised with him in the heavenly places and seated at the right hand of the Father. That means that when Jesus, whatever he inherited through his death and resurrection, it was also accounted to you. Did you know that a lot of you might not have caught this? But did you know that Jesus could not have been raised from the dead until we had been justified in him, or he would not have been able to come out of the grave? Do you know there's a scripture that says that? I think that's found over in Romans chapter 5. Anyway, before we go back to there, I want us to read on here because this gets really good. You were co-raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he co-quickened you with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, I want you to think about this for 1 minute. Up until, are you ready? Up until the Lord Jesus actually was born into this earth, this was the time angels couldn't hardly wait to see planet Earth actually go back into the realms of a man. And this man would have been Jesus. And he would do something. Once he was resurrected, he would remove Satan's ability to ever again go to the third heaven to accuse anybody of anything. Why? Because when Jesus went there and was seated at the right hand of the Father, in the mind of God, you were seated there with Him in spite of the mistakes you make, even after you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. The difference that you have over the Old Testament saints, are you ready? Is the fact that you have been commissioned under grace through the baptism of John that Jesus partook of, so that you can walk in freedom in that grace. So when Jesus went to the backside of the desert and defeated the devil over his natural being, He gave the credit to you and me, hallelujah, that Jesus took the test and passed it. Glory to God. You can't say you got saved by any of your works. He gives it to you. All you have to do is receive Him. But what if I made a mistake? Because of the baptism that He went through John the Baptist, He put a place called grace for you. Hallelujah. So that no matter how many times you stumble and fall after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, He is going to give you all the time required of you to clean your act up while you're here. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, people, our faith is anchored on what He accomplished. Our faith is anchored on what He accomplished. And so when I publicly go into view and ask somebody to baptize me in water, what I'm doing is I am confessing before this world that I went down as an old man. I'm burying him in that water. But when I come up out of that water, I am going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things have passed away. And behold, all things are become new. But thank God I'm under the grace of Jesus until I worked that thing out of me. I couldn't. When I was first saved, and got to go into this church, and they announced that there was going to be a water baptism, I couldn't hardly wait to get there. Now, I never really confessed this before anybody, but I'll confess it now, because I didn't realize how stupid I was. But anyway, I kept thinking to myself, I'm going to cop out soon. Then once I go into that water and come up out of it, it's going to make a difference in how I sin. Did anybody else ever think that way? Please. Anybody? I got to thinking, once I take care of that water business and come up out of there, I'm going to have the greatest victory in my life. It didn't take but 5 minutes afterwards, and I made the mistake of missing the mark with God. I didn't notice any change. You know, when I received Jesus and got born again, I thought for sure I'd grow younger and get a greater head of hair. But I kept going the way I was going. There didn't seem to be much of a change. But you know what? After the road of time, change does take place in you. It does. But it's because He gradually works in your heart and life. But I didn't know that when He got water baptized by John, that He was allotting me the time to purge out of me the wood and stubble, so that all that would remain was the gold and silver and precious stone. Now, whether I accomplish that while I'm here or not, I don't know whether I... Paul even said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high, whether I make it or not. But once I get there, I've made it. It's all over. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, when I came up out of that water, I kept looking for a supernatural change. Kind of like when I was looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I kept thinking God would come down and grab my tongue and make it. But when I just said, well, I'm just going to copy what they're saying. And when I said it, I was so discouraged. Man, where was the lightning bolts on my tongue or something to speak in tongues, you know? And it was just so simple. I just yielded my tongue. But it took me about 2 weeks to really know that I was speaking in tongues. I didn't even believe I was really baptized with the Holy Ghost for 2 weeks. But I still prayed in tongues, but something on the inside of me said, keep speaking in them. Well, you know, when I got out of that water, I didn't notice much change, you know, right away. But I put that old man in that water. And I come up out of that water, but I didn't realize the reason I could come up out of that water and declare myself a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things pass away, behold, all things have become new, is predicated on the fact that he completed the part I couldn't on my own. He still declared me justified. Now, all he had to do is walk down the road of time with me to clean me up, to clean me up. But I thought for sure that baptismal tank could do the best job. But I noticed that when I came up out of him and looked around, I didn't see a bunch of sin floating on the water. The water looked the same. I felt the same. Except I was glad to come up out of the water because it was trying to creep in my nose. But it says here, you have been co-quickened with him. Meaning that as he was raised and seated at the right hand of the Father, it qualified for you to go there. You know, over there in Hebrews it says, he entered into heaven itself to cleanse the heavenly utensils of worship. And I thought he had to go there with his blood, because that's what I was taught, and clean the utensils of worship in heaven. People, that is such a Sunday school concept, it's almost laughable. What he was referring to there is no one could qualify to enter into the third heaven because they had in the underneath the earth a place called paradise, where Jesus said that the spirits that had gone on before out of the Old Testament, that's where they had to go. They couldn't come up until Jesus was resurrected first. And so when he said that he entered into heaven to cleanse the heavenly utensils of worship, it means that he was the first resurrected, glorified man. And when he inherited that and went into the third heaven, now qualified for all the spirits to empty out of that lower region called paradise and go on up to heaven with them. And that's when Jesus on the Mount of Olives went up in that cloud of witnesses. Whoo! That means that when you die or you get raptured, taken out of here, you'll immediately be with the Lord. Hallelujah. These people that teach soul sleeping, they need to go someplace and find a bed and sleep. No, immediately, when you step out of this body, you're immediately with the Lord. Glory to God. And the reason that you're there is because he cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship. He was referring to the spirits of just men made perfect through him. Whoo! Did you get that? I thank God I know it now. But I love it. When you stop to think about it, you can't give yourself credit for anything. It's got to be God in you working his will through you. And the only way he's going to do it is for you to permit to work in your heart. But that doesn't change the position he's declared you in him. Job said, can I find a mediator for between God and man? The mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. That mediator means, can I find an umpire that can place one hand on man and one hand on God and bring the two impossibilities together? Yes, you can. His name is Jesus. Now, circumcision means to cut away of the flesh. And to understand water baptism, being an open witness or testimony, that's where you find that, I think, in Matthew chapter 10 and also in Luke chapter 13, I think, where it talked about, or chapter 12, where it talked about, if you confess me before men, therefore I will confess you before my heavenly Father. When you go into the baptismal tank, you put, go down the old person, come up the new. That's what you're doing. You're confessing before the world an upward testimony that you have been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you have a future resurrection with him. Praise God. One writer said that the new birth, all as it does for you is bring you into heaven. But let's reason together now. Perfection really comes through the flesh. When I started reading that, and that book was on the renewing of the mind, I got to thinking, he doesn't even understand what the new birth is about. You know what the new birth is? It's the Holy Spirit that works in your heart to bring change to your life. It is not through the witness of other people. It's through the witness that God bears in you through the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something about Romans chapter 6. Once it says that that nature of sin no longer has rule over you, it literally means that you can grow to a place where it will no longer control you. And in order for you to get there, you got to have God's grace through the road of time to get to that place. There was one time when sin had a hold of my mind, my natural mind, that my spiritual mind didn't know how to dethrone it. But over a period of time, my natural mind was then affected by my spiritual mind because God's word got into my spiritual mind to dominate that which is my natural way of thinking. And therefore, it ceases to exist. Now, that's why it's so confusing for a lot of people that if a person's been in Christ for many years, and in Hebrews chapter 5, it tells you, though you've been in church for a long time, you're still a babe. And people don't realize that as long as you do not grow spiritually, you cannot dominate your outward man, and you'll find that you'll revert back into the same man that you buried in the water. Because you have to reckon him crucified. You have to reckon him dead. And there's where Romans chapter 6 goes into reckon him as good as dead. Reckon him powerless over your life. And the only reason that he has got strength over you is you have not rendered him powerless. See, there was a lot of things I had to overcome, especially cigarettes. You know, you could mention all kinds of the acts and deeds of that sin nature, but it's powerless unless you know how to develop yourself spiritually. And people don't understand the difference between spiritual development and natural development. Natural development, you cannot rely upon the energy of your flesh. Listen. In order for you to change on the outside, it's got to be something on the inside of you willing that. That's why you cannot convince a person to be spiritual. You can preach the best sermons on planet Earth, but you cannot convince a person to be spiritual if they don't have the desire to be spiritual. That's why you've got to create within you a desire to go on with God spiritually. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of people, the reason they're not successfully spiritually is because they like their kingdom here. They don't want to lose what they got here. I got news for you. If you want to really spiritually develop, you've got to come to the place that there's nothing on this earth can hold you compared to what the kingdom of God has to offer you. I'm going to tell you something. As I'm growing in the Lord, notice I'm still growing in Him. That I'm always faced with the challenge. Why can't you accomplish things for the kingdom where you're at? And the first thing that I understand is I've got to develop something on the inside of me to make that next step. You know, God did not call you to plant seed in you, to go to the blade and that's it. He put the seed in you to go from the blade to the ear and to the full corn in the ear. He expects you to fully blossom while you're here. The problem is we have what we call issues that get in our way. But thank God, He'll give you the grace you need to eliminate the issues so you can take that next step. You know, if we were to invite you over to our house and we had a pot on, I'm not a cook, you know that, so, but anyway, and we decided to have you over for corn. Well, usually you'd think corn on the cob. But what if my wife was boiling just the blade? And she takes a ladle and pulls in there and pulls out all these leaves, the leafy part of the corn, and puts it on your plate. You know what you'd look at her like? This woman don't know how to cook. I thought I was coming over for corn on the cob. What's wrong with that? That's corn on the cob blades. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, if you invite people over, you want the full corn, don't you? The full meal deal, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, God didn't bring you into the kingdom because you can't accomplish it. He brought you into the kingdom to tell you you can accomplish it because you are His creatability. You are His masterpiece. He has designed you, spirit, soul, and body, all three, so you can have victory in the kingdom of God. That's why He says, may you be preserved blameless until His coming. Spirit, soul, and body. So that I don't want to stand before Him and say, well, I didn't accomplish what I wanted to because of my body. Because the rewards are going to be dealt out, not according to that which is good only, but what is good and bad that you accomplished when you were in your body. It has eternal consequences. And the problem is, it's not eternal consequences against God. It's eternal consequences against you. So we as ministers, we have to do the best we can to make sure that you do understand you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, just because you get in that water and you go under and you come back up, you're going to find not too much change at first, but as you get into His Word and you begin to realize the new life you now have in Christ, oh, look out, because you'll start growing. And the more you begin to grow, the more you will have control in your outer man. I don't care what another man's witness is. Because if you look at another man for a witness, you're doing the very thing Paul said not to do. Because your growth is not predicated on somebody else's growth. Your growth is predicated on what God can do on the inside of your heart to make sure that your old man is rendered powerless and useless. But that takes a little bit of time. Now, baptism here is very interesting because he actually goes in and gives a brief explanation that how your old man was crucified. Now, someone said the veil, which was in the wilderness tabernacle, there was a big curtain. And somebody was telling me that curtain was actually 4 inches thick. How many of you realize that that's one big heavy curtain? I don't know how they put it up in the tabernacle. It had to be a strong pole. But it said that once Jesus came out of the grave, it says that that curtain was rent from top to bottom and exposed the Ark of the Covenant. Well, somebody said the veil was the law. Then why does he say the veil of flesh? You see, once I got born again, a veil was removed from my inner heart called flesh. Why? I put Him down. I immersed Him in the death of Christ so that my spirit man could come back to newness of life, and that is circumcision of flesh. The separation of my inner man from my outer man. I can hear a minister and I can tell right away whether he has a revelation or not just by his doctrine. Somebody said, Jesus can't come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So I don't really care about all this end time teaching. But I do care about the church being glorified. People, I got news for you. When it says without spot or wrinkle, it's talking about a removal of reproach. And he was not talking about a return of the Lord there. He was talking about why the church was established in the earth the way it was established. Because we as the church in the earth, we can remove the reproach that the kingdom of God would not bring to a dying world. Now, if it meant that I had to be without spot or wrinkle, what generation would he forfeit? Would he forfeit all those previous generations just so that I would finally be of the generation that would make it? It's ridiculous. That word was not referring to without spot or wrinkle, meaning whether he could return or not. He was talking about why he established the body of Christ in the earth so that it wouldn't bring a reproach to the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The established natural church in this earth has brought a reproach to the kingdom of God. But the church will not. Thank God. I have been resurrected to newness of life. And thank God that Jesus took that baptism for me for the road of time. That baptism that he took for me through John. And John's baptism of repentance is no longer in existence because Jesus fulfilled it on the backside of the desert. Because it said he was led of the Spirit into the desert and was in there for 40 some days and nights. And then afterwards a hunger. And Satan came to him and he won our victory on the backside of that desert before he ever hung on that cross. Glory to God. And he gave us the grade. Remember when you were kids taking tests at school and you had to take that test to pass to go to the next level? Well, Jesus took the test so that you could go to the next level. In spite of you. Would that be cheating or what? So, we're going to go and do some water baptism. What an honor it is to baptize people. Some people said, I thought you didn't believe in baptizing children. And actually, baptism is important to understand and know. So when children want to be baptized in water, I encourage that. Because even though they don't fully understand what baptism is about, it doesn't matter because it's before God that it's received. The witness is before God. And as they grow, remember Jordan said he had been baptized at one time, but he wants to do it again. See, that shows you that even though you were baptized as a child and didn't fully understand it, later on, if you so desire, you can be baptized again, but it doesn't nullify even the first one before God. Amen. It's not by works that we do that he receives. It's by the works of a person's faith. So everyone who got baptized here today, this is really a special honor for all of them because their witness or testimony before you that they're putting down the old man or resurrecting the new. That's why it's so important to understand what a wonderful Lord that we have. Jesus actually going on the backside of the desert making this baptism possible for all of us. Isn't it great? I mean, you can't do anything that God hasn't already provided it for you. Hallelujah. It's just us giving witness to it. Amen. So having said that, let's say a prayer of dismissal. And we'll go ahead and dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that have come forward as a witness and testimony before all here that they have buried their old man and resurrected their new man. Father, may their walk obtain complete glorious victory of the grace that now has been given to them to fully walk it out, Father, what their testimony was today. And we thank you for everyone that did this today, Father, because this is the will of you, that, Father, we do have this testimony and test, or else Jesus wouldn't have done it, his part in baptism. And so, Father, may everyone be blessed here. May they have a safe trip home. And may they have a glorious day in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You can go now.